a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Time. We are into the third Thursday of the month of July. For those of you who have not been here for either of the first two shows, you might have missed that this is my birthday month. So in case you have, this is my birthday month. So July 4th has come and gone, and that's my birthday. It's still my birthday month. My good friend Ray Thomas, who occasionally co-hosts with me here on the Dr. Kevin Show and is my co-host on Laughing, Loving, and Alive twice a month, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. She has the birthday month of June, so I have claimed July. I figure I get to have July. I get to have all of July. But in the middle of July, this terrible event occurs, and it switches from the lovely sign of Cancer to Leo. And today's show, as always, on the third Thursday of the month, is Planetary Influences, where instead of Rob Stewart, from innercenter.org, he just arrived. Did you hear him? He just pulled up to the gate. Where Rob Stewart from innercenter.org will stop waxing poetic about the lovely sign of Cancer and how we're the best sign of the zodiac, and will be forced to talk to us about Leo. Rob, are you there?
I'm here, Dr. Kevin. Yeah, hey, how you doing today?
Well, you know, I'm having fun today. It's actually stopped raining. I mean, we're 13, 14, 15 days into July. And out of the 15 days of July, I think it's rained 23 of those days, if I've counted correctly. So the fact that there is sunshine is a good thing. So as we're going to let Rob take us for our monthly trip around the astrology in the heavens, as he always does. Remember, you can call in at 202-570-7057 if you have questions or would like more information. Also, if you have your chart, pull it out. Every now and then we get into a discussion, and by having your chart, you may have a question about, well, how does this affect me? Because my such and such is so and so, and this moved here, and what would that mean? And I know Rob would love to answer those questions. I might even jump in and say something intelligent. It's been known to happen every couple of thousand shows. And if you don't have your chart and you don't have the wisdom of your astrology and the life plan you gave in through your astrology chart, you again can contact Rob at innercenter.org and have him do a chart for you. Then you could tune in once a month and pick his little brain for free information about the chart that he did for you. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. You have him as a captive host, as a captive once a month here on the Dr. Kevin Show. Rob, do you like how I'm selling you today?
Hey, that's fine. That sounds good. It's good to be here, Dr. Kevin.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know much about Leo, I'm going to turn the rest of the show as jump in with some questions here and there and ask about Leo. I will say that my Mercury is in Leo, and I'm sure Rob finds that no great surprise. So, Rob, what's going on? What are our planetary influences this month?
Yeah, well, over the past month, the sun has been in transiting the sign of Cancer, like you said. And, you know, the sun in astrology is really the path that we can take to find a healthy sense of self. And that moment of birth, wherever the sun is in your chart, it's sort of this, you know, I feel like the sun is misunderstood in astrology, because oftentimes people say, you know, well, I'm an Aries, I'm a Taurus, or whatever, and they say, well, that's what I am. And the bottom line for me anyways with astrology is that the sun is actually not, it doesn't come naturally. It's something that we have to work towards, and sometimes we have to fight some dragons to express our sun. But when we do, we find vitality, we find a sense of purpose. And it just takes some effort and some working through some difficulties for sure. But when we walk the path of the sun, there's this healthy sense of self that really emerges. It's sort of that creative aspect of who we are. It's our individual contribution to the whole. And throughout the year, as the sun is transiting the different signs, we have opportunities to grow in these different ways. So the natal sun sign is always, always sort of that path for your life. But as the sun transits through the zodiac, we get opportunities to work with these energies and bring them into our life. And so over the past month, the sun has been in the sign of Cancer. And, there's a real focus on the deeper emotional landscape. Sort of the questions that I'm sure crossed people's minds over this past 4 weeks has been about, how do I nurture myself? What do I do to bring comfort into my life? Where do I belong? These are sort of these are Cancerian types of questions that energetically, likely we have all been focusing on in one way or another. But there's a real inward focus with the sign of Cancer. And with the sun entering Leo in a couple days here, it's actually on July 22nd, I believe. Let me just double check that. Yes, 22nd. The awareness actually begins to shift outwards. And we sort of, in the sign of Leo, we seek to express ourselves. There's something about developing a spontaneous, joyful, positive expression of personality. Leo is all about joy and expressing from a place of love and really developing a healthy personality. The sun rules the sign of Leo. And like I said earlier, the sun is about the healthy path to develop a healthy sense of self and shine our individual light into the collective and contribute to the whole. And so in the sign of Leo, it's about personal expression. It's about creativity. It's about having fun, connecting with the inner child within. A healthy Leo expression is very charming and from, a very playfulness. And an unhealthy expression of Leo would be very prideful or seeking validation or arrogant, even. That's another sort of lower side of Leo. All signs have positive signs or higher levels and lower levels. And of course, we all get to experience all of those, throughout our life at different times and learn and grow through it. But, like I said, Leo, there's a real focus on playfulness, having fun. We're in the middle of summer here, connecting with the joyful child within, and also connecting with the joyful child in other people. There's something about connecting, seeing that innocent, playful child in other people and connecting at that level and having fun, spontaneous, remembering those old dog days of summer, I guess, way back when, so anytime, Leo's known for creativity. So poetry, artistry, performance, decorating, all these things, all these sort of creative outlets are really healthy and encouraged with this sort of Leoan energy here. And it's about shining brightly in your life and being charismatic, being magnetic, and really developing that sense of self and enjoying oneself in that way.
So I'm going to
connect in with that innocence. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask a question because I mentioned that, my Mercury was in Leo, which is where I get all my charmingness. So they tell me. But Leo also is the ruler of my ninth house. Now, with the sun going into that ninth house and Leo having ninth house energy, where does that mean that my Leo would like to play out? Besides the fact that my Mercury is hanging out there.
Yeah. So, the ninth house is about the lens in which we see the world. That the ninth house is about the philosophy of life. It's often spoken to in terms of religion or philosophy, but it's really the lens in which we see the world. It's the beliefs we have about the world. And, you know, when I say beliefs, I mean, I see atheism and theism as both of these are beliefs. They're beliefs of, it's a way of structuring reality. There are different lenses. And so with the sun transiting your ninth house, there's something about, you know, connecting with seeing the bigger picture in life for you. That's really helpful. That's really brings vitality when you connect with, you know, sort of the big picture in life, connecting with your broader spiritual view of the world. Ninth house is also about optimism. It's about travel. It's about intuition. All these different things. It's a really intuitive house too. It's sort of that connection we have with the higher self in some, you know, some people use that word or whatever, but it's a really intuitive place. And with the sun transiting that, it's bringing light and radiance to that area of life.
So are you telling me over the next month, I might actually discover that I have some kind of psychic ability? Oh, pshaw, say it's not true, Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe a reconnection, you know, I don't know. It would certainly, I mean, obviously you're joking, of course, because you've been in that area of life for a long, long time, but it's no mystery that, so the ruler of your ninth house is Mercury. Mercury's in Leo itself. I mean, it's not ruling the house, but it's in that house. And yeah, there's no coincidences about that, of course.
Yeah. So I just wanted to, you know, I wanted to have the listeners get an experience of, you know, there's an awful lot to this astrology stuff. And we talk about it once a month, and you're going to talk about where is the moon and what does that mean and any major shifts and where things are. But, you know, understanding your astrology chart and working with your astrology chart is like making a good baklava. It's got layer after layer after layer, and you get a little thin layer of what are my planets, and then you get another layer of where are my house cusp, and you get another layer of how they interact, and you get this layer after layer of goodness that can really give you an opportunity to sweeten up the experience of your life by having that knowledge. So what do you think of them apples?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's really amazing how detailed and helpful astrology is. It's something that, you know, in the horoscope and the weekly horoscopes in the newspapers, it really doesn't touch upon the truth in astrology. I know a lot of people that don't take astrology seriously that haven't looked into astrology. And I don't know many people that have looked into astrology that think there's nothing to it. You know, but it's one of those things, the deeper you look, it's pretty amazing. And, you know, the other thing with astrology, it's amazing that the atom, the smallest building block of life, you know, the atom that with the nucleus and the electrons or all these things surrounding the nucleus, it's the same structure as the solar system, with the sun in the center and celestial bodies orbiting the sun. And so that old saying of as above, so below, our own science shows that in a lot of different ways, in the sort of fractal nature of the universe. And, you know, we really don't understand why astrology is relevant. But when you look at it and you look at we don't know how it works, you know, but we can see the power in it and the ability that it does indeed work. We just don't quite understand why it works the way it works. But one can really benefit from the insight of the stars and the planets.
So, yeah. And again, I like to give, you know, I want to give... So I always use my chart because I know my chart. So I get to, you know, ask you questions like that, which, I mean, nothing you said is a surprise to me, obviously, because I do astrology myself. But I want the listeners to hear the richness and hear that oftentimes when people are looking for a valuable tool, they'll go in and they'll take all of these tests and they'll learn, you know, that what mumbo jumbo of letters are they on this scale and what are they on that scale and this is this and they answered 400 questions and blah 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 blah, but were they really honest with their answers and did those answers change? Right. You know what? Your sun was where it was in the sky when you were born. It progresses through your chart and there's solar returns, but you can't fake it unless you lied to your astrologer about what your birthday was. And so I see people run around looking for all of this insight to how they work and they'll blow right by astrology. And I'm like, guys, you're missing the boat. So anyways, so on that note, I'm going to turn it over to, we're going to move a sun into Leo. And I just wanted to be known. Obviously I'm jumping the gun here. I brought out my artist pad 2 or 3 days ago and my colored pencils, and I started working on some of the art on my tarot deck that I'm creating. So I guess I'm getting ready for Leo. We'll be right back with Rob Stewart of innercenter.org and find out what's going on in the planets for the time of Leo right here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. Here on the third Thursday of the month in July in the year 2021, we are doing Planetary Influences with Rob Stewart of innercenter.org. That's innercenter.org. Feel free to contact Rob if you'd like an astrology chart done or an update or a progressed or a solar return. One of these days, Rob, I'm going to do a separate show for each of those for you to really explain what those mean to people, because I throw those terms out all the time and I can hear the sound of head scratching, but not today. I'd like to give them their due. So that being said, if you would like to ask Rob questions about the astrology of the time or your astrology chart, you can do so at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. So, Rob, how will the heavens haunt us during the time of Leo?
So the sun moves into Leo on July 22nd, and it's there for a month. On that same day, we have Venus entering Virgo, and so this is occurring at the same time. And Venus is about how we relate to ourselves. It's how we relate to others. You know, the world is always as within, so without. You know, oftentimes the way we treat ourselves is how we treat others, and that's a whole nother discussion in some way. But with Venus, there's some energy there of exploring what that's like as Venus transits these different zodiac signs, and relationships with ourselves, with others, can relate to that, as well as the aspects it makes as it goes through the sky. So with Venus in Virgo, there's something about analyzing. Virgo is about analyzing. It's about help making things better. It's about self-improvement. It's about making the world a better place. And so when Venus is in the sign of Virgo, there's some analytical aspect that is brought into relationships. It could be maybe a self-evaluation in some ways. And, you know, there's some productive ways in which we can look at our relationships, see how we can bring our best self to the relationships and improve things and make them better. And the thing with Venus and Virgo, it is in its detriment, which means it's just not as, Venus isn't as comfortable in the sign of Virgo. And the things to be aware of when Venus in Virgo is self-criticism, or, you know, criticism of others, or, you know, trying to be perfect. You know, these are types of Virgo energies that to be aware of. And if you find yourself going into some self-criticism or something like that, you know, be gentle with yourself. And knock it off and enjoy, you know, find ways of improving things if that's necessary, but don't, you know, don't be caught in any self-criticism, because that's not productive. And so what's interesting is that while the sun is in Leo, which is about shining one's personality into the world, about self-expression and having fun, spontaneity, joy, and Venus at the same time is in Virgo. So there's this sort of outward energy of shining our individual lights into the world, but also maybe some internal processing and reviewing things and discerning what types of relationships and interactions that you have in your life, and just seeing, you know, like, wow, how can I improve my interaction here in the world? You know, those types of things. Venus will be opposite Jupiter at that time. Jupiter is at 0 degrees Pisces there on July 22nd. And so there might be some real expansive feelings of happiness. You know, oppositions are sometimes a challenging aspect, but when an opposition is made with Jupiter, it's actually bringing some blessings with it. And so there's something about some positive and supportive relationships, maybe even themes around July 22nd, about opening to the perspectives of other people, you know, reviewing, you know, looking at different perspectives, seeing things from a broader perspective in your relationships. These can be themes with that alignment there with these planets. And so, yeah, there's sort of opportunities for self-growth through interactions with others with Venus and Virgo opposite Jupiter. And at that time, also we have Mars quincunx Pluto and Sun quincunx Jupiter. And without getting the details of that, it's just saying that, you know, there might be some opportunities, like I said, to review some of these, look at one's own belief systems in your relationships. Maybe some, you know, maybe there's some opportunities to come to peace with each person having slightly different views of the world, or different ways of seeing things, that we could be there could be some real blessings with regards to working through some of those things in a positive way.
So one of the things that I want to bring up about this whole time of, you know, Venus is here in Virgo, the sun is in Cleo, and here we have this opposite, this opposition with Jupiter. Is, you know, Virgo is also a sign of practical service, and a lot of times, what one person may take as criticism, another person may be offering as a, I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you be better, or I'm trying to help you with something you're struggling with, or I'm trying to do something that has some, that I think is going to serve you. But with the Venus lens and that sensitivity of Venus, it may be trying at times to be a productive, you know, like a productive observation that's heard as a criticism, whether that's internally or externally, because Virgos do want to be of service, but they want to do it in a way that's tangible and practical. And a lot of times when it comes to relationships and emotional energies, and we get into the Venus stuff there, sometimes we don't always hear that in the intention in which the way it was brought. Does all that make sense when I kind of throw that layer in?
Yeah, I think that's a great example. Yeah, so, you know, that's something to really, you know, be mindful of during that time. If you know, there's some constructive feedback on things, and then, you know, maybe taking it a bit personally, or simply being aware of the constructive feedback you're giving someone, and doing it in a way that can truly be helpful rather than critical. You know, these are some, definitely, that's a really good example of how some of these energies could play out that week of the July 22nd.
So be mindful out there, especially depending on where all of these planets land in your chart, because those are the areas of the life that they're most likely to end up in. Playing out, might be home, family, friends, career, you know, like every house has an area of your life that tends to be more influenced or affected by it. But use some of that Leo playful and creativity. Can you give somebody feedback, but do it in a lighter, more playful way? Can you make it more engaging? Can you ask yourself, like I'm always teaching all of my students and my clients, is it more important to say what you need to say the way you need to say it, or is it more important to be heard? So if you're really trying to be of service, stop and think, is how I'm getting ready to say it going to serve them, or is my delivery going to get in the way of what I'm trying to accomplish? And I think that with what you're talking about, Rob, that these are our words to live by during this time frame of these coming together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And I think that's such a perfect example. You know, sometimes we think the way we communicate is really judged by how we feel after we communicate it, which of course, sometimes I guess that's important in situations for sure. But, you know, there's something truly important with regards to, you know, are you able to convey the message that you're hoping to convey? You know, that there's such difficulties with communication in this world. You know, sometimes I feel it's like, you know, two people trying to use a dial-up modem sometimes to communicate like their experience and their perspective and putting in the words, and then the other person understanding the words, and of course they have their own associations with the words. And so there's a lot of potential for miscommunication here in this world. And I'd say, you know, this week coming up, there's no, you know, it's not, don't worry about miscommunication, but it's a great time to be, you know, to be clear and precise and in a loving, open and playful way.
Great. Well, I'll get out of your way. Keep filling us in on those starry night skies.
Yeah. All right. So there's a full moon on July 23rd, and the full moon's in Aquarius at the first degree in Aquarius. And full moons are a time of letting go. It's a time to really, find out what's not working, let go of what's not working with regards to the full moon energy. and simply let go of those things that are those aspects that aren't working so that you can make things more simple. A full moon is when the sun and the moon are on opposite sides of the zodiac. And sometimes it brings about some tension with the sun being our sort of our purpose, our wants in life. And the moon is our emotional needs. It's what we need for nurturing and things of that nature. So when these two are opposite, sometimes there's some tension between our wants and our needs. And it's a time to let go of what isn't working with regards to the energies involved. And so with a full moon in Aquarius, there's a real need for personal freedom, to be who you are. You know, the type of thing of being an individual and honoring yourself as an individual, and connecting with like-minded people. You know, that's an Aquarian type of energy. It's about finding your tribe, connecting with those that you have a shared vision in the world. And a full moon in Aquarius, maybe there's some old things to be let go of. You know, letting go of pretending not to be who you are, or letting go of being afraid of standing in your uniqueness. These types of things, would be things to think about during that time of, again, this is July 23rd, so it's right, again, you know, as the sun's entering Leo. And so some of the more questions to ask yourself around this full moon might be, are you able to detach from what other people think about you? Or can you detach from the need for getting other people's approval or validation? Because we've all done that, of course. But when you stand in your uniqueness and you unapologetically show up as who you are, that's true freedom. That's true. There's a lot of healing in that way. Right.
Can this also be represented by a willingness to let go of ideals, perspectives, belief systems of how the world works, or how you need to work out in the world that no longer serve you, that maybe you've held on to because you've just never question them? But if you look at them, it's like putting on an old suit to realize the old suit doesn't fit anymore. And so I think that a full moon in Aquarius can be a time of going through the proverbial closet of who you are in the world and seeing, are there things that don't fit anymore? Am I on track here?
Absolutely. Aquarius is really, so it's a sign directly after Capricorn. Aquarius is about letting go of conditioning. It's about letting go, you know, freedom from the old conditioning. And so a full moon in Aquarius is really asking us to, just like you said, sort through, you know, what old conditions, what old habits, what old views, what old conditioned thinking is no longer serving you in your life. And where do you need more freedom in that way? Where, you know, and I love that example, the suit. You know, the example I always use is, you know, I always remember those days when you're a kid and your feet are outgrowing your shoes, and that shoe gets so tight, and you know, you need a new shoe because you just need more space, and there's no sense in hanging on to that old shoe because it's just going to be more and more painful. And so with a full moon in Aquarius, there's definitely something about letting go of old conditioning, that old, you know, just like a crab will find a new shell that suits its growing size. And so I think there's a lot of metaphors there when we shed these old conditionings, whether it's from, you know, old ways of seeing the world from childhood and conditioning, societal conditioning. A conditioning of all shapes and sizes.
Great. I'll let you continue now. One of these times I'll actually shut up. Go ahead.
No, it's great. These are great. This is great. I enjoy the back and forth on this because it just organically explores the themes. So please keep chiming in. Aquarius, it's also, you know, times of shrugging off peer pressure, or, you know, allowing yourself to be who you are, allowing other people to be who they are. You know, so it goes both ways. You know, it's a time of, you know, can I allow them to be unapologetically them? Can I allow myself to be unapologetically me? And Aquarius is very objective. It's the ability to look at things in an objective way and see the bigger picture. So, you know, one of the things with Aquarius is we can be a bit detached from our emotions. So that's something to be aware of if you're feeling a bit detached from emotions, or need to have a good cry or something like that. Just be gentle with yourself and know that, I guess, with these energies, we could all be a little bit detached in some way from the emotions. Just something to be aware of with regards to those energies.
So your Leo says, I just want to be a kid. Your Venus in Virgo says, okay, now grow up, go out, be practical, do something in the world. The Aquarius says, lighten up. And if you're having an emotion, let you have it. And then Venus says, are you crying again? Stop that crap. Do I have these conversations correct?
Totally. And, you know, this is the thing, is that with the Sun and Leo, we're shining our personal expression in the world. And this full moon is saying, can we do that and be okay with it? Even though we're each unique in our own way, can we shine our light and our individual contribution in this world without, you know, having to get validation from others, without having to fit in with others in the way that they want us to fit in, or whatever it is, you know, whatever it is for the unique individual. So it's a time of honoring
and,
that individual expression.
And is what we're projecting to the world authentic?
Right.
And we'll be right back.
Bingo. Yeah, good one.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. It is the third Thursday of the month. I'm here with Rob Stewart from innercenter.org. That is innercenter.org. And Rob is reviewing what's going on in the skies and what does that mean to me. I think somewhere I just saw Pluto do a drive-by shooting to my Saturn. What does that mean? Rob, what else is going on in those skies?
Gosh. So Mercury's regarding this full moon in Aquarius that we were just talking about, Mercury's opposite Pluto during this full moon as well. And so what that's saying, you know, like you said, it's a time of, you know, can I authentically express my own light, shine my own light in the world? Can I stand in my uniqueness? These are the big themes in which we're given the opportunity to let go of things that are no longer, that are holding us back in that way, holding us back from sharing our authentic, unique nature with the world. And with Mercury opposite Pluto, it's saying there might be opportunities to have healthy boundaries and to, you know, work through communication, and maybe there's things that require some new types of boundaries with regards to how you speak and share and things like that. So those are some of the themes. Also with this full moon is energetic good boundaries. And also there is a focus on relationship with Venus and Mars still within 6 degrees of one another, and their opposite Jupiter as well. So there's definitely, you know, communication and relationships, how to shine as your unique self, freeing yourself from old conditioning that's no longer serving, and stepping into the new energies ahead. So that's the full moon. Was there anything you wanted to throw in with the full moon, Dr. Kevin?
I think I threw in quite a bit already. And we're into our last segment, so I don't know how much more you've got to cover, but I want to make sure that we get it out all on the table and I can kick around at the end, because I don't want us to rush your last piece of information because I was such a jabberwocky. So go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I guess we'll keep on going here. So July 28th, Mercury enters the sign of Leo. So we'll have both the Sun and Mercury in Leo. Mercury is about communication. It's about our perception. It's about how we process information in and out, you know, how we write and teach and listen. And so with Mercury in Leo, that's a comfortable place for you, Dr. Kevin. That's for your natal position of Mercury. There's something about self-expression and, you know, shining your light through your voice. Also connecting with things that you are interested in. You know, maybe exploring, Mercury can all be about curiosity and exploring what you enjoy in your life, Leo. What brings you joy and creativity and pleasure and happiness. These are all Mercury and Leo types of energies. And let's see here. And so on July 29th, Mars is opposite Jupiter. And, you know, this is a time where it's possible in the news, maybe there's some headlines where there's a bit more aggression or something in the headlines, or some type of assertiveness or aggression. You know, Mars is about boldly, courageously, you know, standing in your power, and there can be assertion, aggression with regards to Mars. And with the opposite Jupiter, and no longer in conjunction with Venus, it's possible that by the end of this month, there might be some headlines that reflect sort of aggression in some way, in some form. Also, the moon at that time will be conjunct the asteroid Chiron in Aries. So while there's this strong potential for assertiveness in the headlines, with Chiron conjunct the moon in Aries, it's saying there might be some hesitation for assertiveness too. So it's a very interesting energy. There might be some big headlines perhaps at the end of this month that are just maybe there's some frustration or anger being expressed in some way, but maybe it's being held back in some way as well with Chiron conjunct moon. So that's just something to be, I guess, to look out for, I suppose.
Now, with it being the Chiron, the wounded healer, is any of this holding back, or any of this emotional stuff coming from wounds Would it be fair to say that this might be this back and forth strikeout of somebody because of woundedness isn't speaking out but wants to speak out and is having this like pull you push me type energy? Is that a fair, or am I going cuckoo for cocoa pops here?
Yeah, no, that absolutely. And the thing with astrology is there can be so many examples of how things show up, you know. But the one you mentioned right there is definitely one of them. Of Chiron is definitely speaking to wounds, to sort of inner child sensitivities that we have. And so in the collective at that time, there might be some emotional sensitivity that maybe there's some anger, but not sure how to express it. Or, but certainly some anger with that Mars opposite Jupiter. The other thing is that Sun will be conjunct Mercury on August 1st. And that means that Mercury will be combust. Because when the Sun is conjunct or in the same location as a planet, you can't see that planet. That planet is fully combusted by the Sun. And so when this is occurring, Sun conjunct to Mercury, there might be some, communication that's going on that's a bit hidden. And this is occurring opposite Saturn too. So there's, I don't know, it's towards the end of this month, late July into, you know, the early August, there might be some restriction in communication or some, holding back in communication during some time of heightened anger or assertion in the collective. So these are the types of headlines that could potentially be around at that time. There might be some real veiled communication, I guess you'd say, with Mercury combust opposite Saturn with the Sun, the Moon conjunct Aries, and this Mars energy as well. So maybe, I don't know, something that sort of touches the wounds of the collective, but it's a bit difficult to speak about or something like that. Or maybe there's some information that isn't, information might be missing with Mercury combust. These are some of the key phrases that might be relevant.
Now, I have to ask this question because of some of what you're saying. Is Neptune getting dinged in any of this?
Yeah, let me look. Because Neptune was squaring Mercury for the longest time. Let's see here. Yeah, so at this time, Neptune isn't making any hugely significant, or certainly not any negative aspects. I don't like using the word negative, but instead of the word negative, Neptune isn't creating any friction in the situation. It's making a sextile with Pluto, a sextile with also with the Moon on that day. So, does that answer your question? That, you know, with Neptune, sometimes there can be cloudiness, and I think that's where you're going with this.
Well, there's part of what you're talking about, and I'm not saying that this is literally the example, but, you know, we have this whole fantasia or fantastical thing of, like, Trump is going to end up being president again and on August 15th or some obscure date of, at that point, he's going back into office. All of this stuff is continuing to come out. The hearings are starting about January 6th. Trump is going, it was a love peace fest. These were the great loving groups of people. And I see that this combust, and this what you, when you talked about all of that, I was asking about Neptune, especially like within the first week of August, like, does it get dinged somewhere? And you don't have to look it up, but I feel like that we're coming to a place where some of that first energy you talked about coming out, the Mars opposition and that speaking out, and that so much stuff is going to hit the fan that you may have a shattering of illusions. And these illusions around this whole awful situation of stolen elections and all the lies and all of that stuff, there were deeply wounded people who had stayed loyal to the lies because they needed to, because their wounds needed to. Their wounds, their sense of self, their insecurity in a changing world that they don't think they fit into, a feeling of hopelessness and loss that the land that they loved has gone away and there's not a place for them anymore. And this is why they rally to the Trump cries of to kind of get him going. And I can see this combust and then post-combust, a busting of illusions. So I'm just watching. I'm watching more books come out. I'm watching more documents getting shared. I'm watching hearings starting. And to me, this sounds like this is something that could blow itself out in within the first couple of weeks of August, and that this is the setup for something like that. Again, I'm not predicting that's what it's going to be, but what I'm saying, I think, fits what you're saying astrologically. Does that make sense, or am I missing something?
Yeah. No, this all does make sense. I mean, you know, some of the key themes here, I think, would be difficulties in information with Mercury combust in that way, and with this anger and frustration. So I would say the big key theme here is regarding the end of July, early August, in difficulties with information, you know, that type of thing. The other thing is related to Venus. Venus is at that time squaring the north and south nodes of the moon. And what that's saying is it's a time collectively, whenever a planet's squaring the north and south node, it's saying we're given the opportunity to make new choices with regards to our relationships, with regards to people, with things of that nature. There's some new choices that can be made with regards to Venus in Virgo. So how one, how to be helpful, how to interact with people, how to make the world a better place with friends in your life. You know, there's something about this with regards to this Mars energy, where we're given an opportunity to make some new choices that can be healing, Venus and Virgo.
Well, I think that one of the ways in which this country needs to prepare as this all blows up, and hopefully it does actually blow up, because if it goes on too long, we won't have a country, but is to remember that if there is an awakening, if there is some kind of end of illusions, which are always painful, that we are going to be dealing with millions of disenfranchised cult survivors. And, that is can be a very dangerous time. But it's also a time that calls for great compassion because they were in a cult. I mean, so I was just wondering, before we run out of time, anything else going on astrology? Again, I don't want to miss anything.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've touched some of the, you know, the big things here. I mean, there is, there is a new moon in Leo on August 8th. And this is at 16 degrees in Leo. And so this is a new beginning. You know, all new moons, which occur once a month, indicate a new beginning that where we can set intentions in that area. And it's in Leo. So, you know, all these themes we've been talking about tonight, Dr. Kevin, that with regards to, like you said, the self-expression, how to bring your authentic, shine your authentic light in the world, how to break away from the pack and let go of conditioning that is no longer serving, that's no longer appropriate for you in your life. These are some of the intentions with regards to connecting with what brings you joy, bringing more playfulness in your life, and leaving your mark in the world. In a healthy and heart-based way. These are some of the intentions to think of on August 8th. These are the big, that new moon is squaring Uranus. So it's saying there might be some unexpected changes, and it's sort of shaking off the old and bringing in the new. So these are the big themes that I came here to chat about.
Well, I think that what I would invite the listeners to think about on August 8th with this new moon, and if there's any ceremony you do or ritual, I mean, new moons, full moons are always a good time to do intentional work. And in this new moon, it's owning it's owning the human lens of being God. Leo is I create. Creator is one of the is the concept of God, the ultimate creator. I create. And a new moon is a time to say, especially with what we've gone through with that Aquarian full moon, what is it I want to create in the world? And what do I want to create within me? Rob, I'll see you in a month.
Yeah, this sounds good, Dr. Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. Rob Stewart, innercenter.org. And come back next week to find out, are you sick and tired of being fat, sick and tired? With Dr. Pat. We'll be talking about her book, Sick and Tired of Being Fat, Sick and Tired, here on The Dr. Kevin Show.